You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey guys, so this episode was recorded on Sunday. Me and Adam thought we were going to post it on Thursday, but then we talked about some stuff that's kind of fluid and could change in a heartbeat, like if a trade happens or something like that, and we don't want it to be buried untimely conversation, and it's still relevant today. So we're pushing it forward and posting it today, and I'm only telling you this at the beginning because at the end we go over some administrative stuff and talk about what dates some episodes are going to come out, and most of it's still true, but it's a little less relevant just considering that this episode got moved from what was going to be Thursday to today, Tuesday. So just keep that in mind when you hear that at the end. But other than that, it's all going to be fun and great. So enjoy some draft and trade talk.
Welcome in to this Monday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we talk about the Indiana Pacers 5 days a week again. We're back to 5 days a week for the draft, for free agency, for all the fun stuff. As always, I'm one of the hosts of this show, Tony East, covering the Pacers for Forbes on the other line, Indy Cornrows extraordinaire, and my co-host, Adam Friedman. Adam, what a week in the NBA.
It was a great week. Well,
literally 7 days ago, Kevin Durant was healthy. Anthony Davis was a Pelican. The finals were happening. It was crazy.
I mean, I'll keep saying this. I still can't believe the Raptors are NBA champions.
I know.
I honestly for them, man. Can't believe
it. What a story.
I wake up some days, I'm like, did that team really win the championship? I don't believe it.
Remember how close the Pacers were to splitting the season series with them because OG Anunoby clubbed Bojan at the buzzer?
I mean, remember last year where they...
No call.
Yeah, but that... I mean, remember how close the Raptors were to literally losing the second round of the playoffs if the ball bounces like half an inch the other way?
Yeah, no, they were... and they were an double overtime win away from being down 3-0 to Milwaukee. I mean, it was a crazy run.
It took a lot of... I don't want to call it luck, but I guess you call it a little bit of luck just to get to where they were.
You got to have luck to win.
Well, to put them in the position where two guys get hurt and then they can win.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what I mean, is they got lucky to get the spot to win, but
yeah. Hey, good for them. So Anthony Davis got traded, and we're going to talk about that before we do Pacers.
Yeah, that was the more exciting thing to me.
You had something to say.
Well, that was something to say. Well, if the Pacers had traded Miles Turner, Aaron Holiday, and two first rounds, would that have gotten Anthony Davis over the offer they got?
Not even close.
Okay. Why?
Because they got three firsts, one of which
they got a bunch of pick swaps, right?
They got the number four pick this year, either the 2021 top eight pick or unprotected 2022, and a 2024 first rounder and a pick swap.
What? Wait, what was Tim Bontemps' tweet? I feel like it was only two first rounders.
Bontemps was actually wrong.
Okay, that's why.
Tanya, what's her last name from the LA Times? Got it. But that's what it is. It's reverse protected. So they get it in 2021 if it's top eight. And if not, they get it in 2022. So there's one. They get number four this year. So there's two. And then they get 2024 unprotected. That's three.
Okay.
Plus a swap. Plus Ingram. Plus Lonzo. Plus Hart.
Yeah.
No.
Turner Holiday is not close. Lakers gave away the farm.
Yeah, their farm kind of sucks.
Well, no, but in the picks wise, they just basically said if we have any good picks the next decade, really, it's yours.
Exactly. Their bet is that they're just going to be terrible picks. And to be fair, well, LeBron's still on your team. Yeah, most of them probably will be.
Yeah, but all those pick swaps are not.
But the pick swaps now with the new lottery rules are awesome. And LeBron will be 41 for that last pick obligation. Like, that's a haul, man.
Yeah, but Davis will be what, 20, 31, 32 at that point?
Yeah, he's only 26. Worth it. He's so good.
Right. So the thought is Davis is going to be good. He's going to be your pillar for the next decade anyway.
That's true.
You're going to be a playoff team every year. And then you may bring in somebody else to replace LeBron at some point as to go to pair Davis later on or
Zion himself.
Yeah, I mean, for all we know, by the end of this deal, Zion is on this team. Could you imagine that if Zion was on that team at the end of this?
Oh, man, that would be funny. Full circle.
That could totally happen. I mean, I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I thought their offer wasn't very good. And then when they got the fourth pick, I thought it was better, but still not good. But then when they threw in all of the picks, it was good.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were going to do all of the picks.
So to me, I didn't think player wise, like Ingram, Ball, and Hart.
No, I agree.
Better if you put in like Holiday, Turner, and somebody else.
Well, I love Lonzo, but Hart is nothing to me. Like,
no, and Ingram, we just don't know right now still.
Yeah.
Miles Turner is the best, is better than all those guys currently, and is relatively the same age. Turner's going to be 23 this year, right? Yes. Basically, he turned 23 this year.
He's younger than Hart, I think. Yeah. Probably younger than Josh Hart. I don't know that. That could be wrong.
He's probably 2 years older than Ingram and 3 years older than Ball.
Now I want to know if he's younger than Josh Hart, just for funsies.
Yeah. But yeah. He'd fit well around Zion.
Oh, he totally would. What? Hart is March 6, 1995, so he's 24. And Miles Turner is March 24, 1996. So over a year older.
Because I wasn't sure what the Pelicans wanted to do. You know, the move they made basically says we're just restarting. We're bringing Zion in. We're going to try to build from the ground up and try to do it better than we did last time with David, essentially. But I thought
the report said they wanted like a good player and all-star. Well,
that's why.
I wonder if they're still shopping that, but I don't know.
Well, that's why I thought Turner, that kind of deal, if the Pacers really wanted to, which they were going to do anyways, because they're not as ballsy as the Raptors. no, they aren't. I mean, they care more about making the playoffs and keeping that playoff.
Wait, when did the Raptors do a trade that ballsy?
What do you mean last year?
Trading for a top pick, a good player for a top pick?
No. I mean trading one of your good players for a great player for a 1 year deal. Sorry.
Oh, for Anthony Davis. I see.
Yes, I'm still on that Davis thing.
I'm sorry. I thought you meant for the number four pick. I was like, wait, I'm missing something about the Raptors here.
I'm back. But I thought if the Pelicans maybe wanted a quality NBA player so they could try to be competitive next year with Drew, Zion, this guy, and a couple other guys, that the Pacers could be in the race if they really wanted to throw themselves into it. They're going to pull like a Spurs move, but this makes more sense. I do wonder how long Drew Holiday is on this roster. Simply, if they just want to blow it up, it makes sense to just completely get rid of all the salaries and try to clear a max space and have all the assets in the world and just try to like basically start.
Yeah. If they are keeping number four and going full young, it makes more sense to trade him than has been previously led on by reports. But again, for some reason, David Griffin keeps saying he wants to keep him and they want to trade number four for like a competitor who can help them now.
And I wonder with Lonzo there, I guess Drew's going to play a shooting guard, not point guard. I don't know.
Played the two for like 5 years and everybody still is like,
he plays a little bit of point guard still, right? I mean, he's kind of the ball handler end of games, isn't he?
It's like Harden, basically.
Yeah, or even Vic in a way, kind of similar.
Yes, yeah.
So you can call, I guess he's not the point guard, but he's the ball handler.
The difference between him and Vic is like Drew started his career at the one and Vic started his career at the two. And so everybody just like puts him in that bucket.
Yeah, well, and the thing about Lonzo is that he needs the ball in his hands also to be kind of effective as a player a little bit. So I wonder if that starts bugging Drew with the Lonzo show coming to town with, I believe, being LeVar show in a way.
Lonzo, Drew, Zion is a great defensive trio, like already.
Yeah, but I wonder offensively how that works. All three guys
need the ball in their hands. We'll see.
And that's why I say Drew's days might be numbered because he might be annoyed to be there at some point. And the contract really makes no sense if you're going to be bad. Like, they're not going to be good. They're not going to be a playoff team next year, probably.
No, not next year.
I mean, I think Zion's going to be great, but I don't think he's going to come in LeBron level style this first.
No, game. I don't either.
He's going to need. He can't really shoot yet.
I think he's the second or third best prospect since LeBron, though.
Yeah,
I mean, coming out of college, not like AD. Yeah, is one
AD
of them
is probably AD. One. AD was
Greg Oden was thought to be about this level. That didn't happen.
KD had a lot of good prospects too coming out.
KD, yeah, that the Oden KD draft was so fun.
Yeah, I mean,
it was nothing.
People were concerned. People were concerned about KD and could he stay healthy because he was such a skinny dude. Which, I mean, I guess he's not healthy now, but he stayed healthy pretty long and a pretty good amount of time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
that many guys. Pretty wild trade. And if we do want to circle back to Pacers standpoint, AD goes west. That's great news. Number four pick stays west. That's great news.
The Pelicans being in the west is the biggest sham on the planet.
Them in Minnesota just making noise.
Well, because the Pelicans were in, when they were the Bobcats, they were not the Bobcats. Oh, yeah, right. They were the Hornets. Yeah. They were the Hornets. I'm sorry. I'm like,
that's so confusing. And they were in like Oklahoma City for a second, too.
Well, that's because of the hurricane.
Hurricane,
but when they were in New Orleans in 2004, they were in the East still. Then they got moved, basically, when the Charlotte team, which screwed them the year they got Chris Paul. If Chris Paul had been in the East all these years, he might have made NBA Finals, or at least made a couple Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, that sucks. So no immediate ripple effects hitting Indiana, which is nice. Speaking of the Pacers, it's draft week, Adam. It's finally here. And by finally, I mean the finals just ended. And it's crazy that the draft is already happening.
The NBA loves this show. They own the month of June now.
They sure do. It's crazy.
They own everything.
The Fever are exceeding expectations. The W's been fun. It's going to be a fun Indiana basketball year. The draft is this week, which is exciting. We're back to 5 days because of that. We'll talk about some draft stuff almost every day. We gotta talk draft ahead of Thursday. They still have their pick. We'll talk about if they could trade it in our second segment here. Third segment, we'll do best case and worst case scenario, which is all opinion. And this whole segment, this whole show is opinion.
Yeah, what do you mean? Everything is opinion.
I take it back.
We have no facts.
We are full of facts.
We're full of stats, but not necessarily facts.
So this is kind of a list of guys that I feel like are going to be available at 18 that makes sense for the Pacers. Can I do that?
Yeah, I'm going to write it down as you name your list.
Okay. Pacers Twitter's favorite and very good Kentucky player, P.J. Washington. Nasir Little from North Carolina. Cameron Johnson, also from North Carolina. Talen Horton-Tucker, our pick in the Locked On mock draft. Please go listen to that. It's still going on. Metty Stiebel from Washington, fantastic defender. Grant Williams, my guy, from Tennessee. Tyler Hero from the University of Kentucky, another fantastic knockdown shooter, along with Cam Johnson. Now I feel like I'm missing one, but that is...
Do you think Rumi will be around or no?
No,
okay. I don't. That's the only one I can think of.
I do not. I also am not super, super high on it. He'll be fine. I don't think he's going to be like awesome.
No, but he, I don't know. I mean, if he felt 18, it's good value, I guess.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I feel like I'm missing someone huge.
You feel like Carson Edwards can go that high?
Carson Edwards is good, but I don't think he'll go that high.
You think Darius Bazley goes that high? Probably not, right?
No. Man, do you hate him for ditching your school?
I don't care. I don't care. I'm just going to be honest. I'm just going to be shit.
Alexander Walker from Virginia Tech and Rui Hachimura. There's the – man, I missed two. Kevin Porter. Ah, oh, there's so many. Yeah, it's a big group. They have a lot of options, and pretty much if they pick anybody but a center, you can live with the pick, unless you're me and they pick Rui, in which case I'll be very disappointed. It's a wide open field. It's going to be very interesting.
I think the first thing you notice, there's a lot of decent forward guard, shooting guard level kind of guys, and guys the Pacers need to take with their, you know, the Pacers, what, took a point guard, took a power forward, but they're really in need of like a three.
Porter can play 2-3, although he's probably like he's 6'5.5. That can play wing. Alexander Walker, same thing. He's 6'5.5. He could play guard wing. Nasir Little, 6'6. He could play guard wing. I'm with you that if they want to go that direction, they have a lot of options. And I probably just missed another guy. Where did you type this list? Can I see it?
Oh, I wrote it in my known notes. I also spelled some guy's name wrong because I definitely don't know how to spell.
That's okay. Horton Tucker.
Horton Tucker's the one I was saying.
That's why I am so infatuated by him, but we all know that by now. Cam Johnson, same deal. Tybull, I mean, there's a lot. You're right. And then Williams, Washington, Rui, they're bigger. They'll probably be more 3-4 types than 2-3 types, but still good players in their own way.
So you want to just rank, because I agree with all those names. I mean, the only other names I would have is they wanted to reach for Darius Bazley. Just because they don't have a pick between
that is a high 18. That is a high risk, high reward kind of play.
Yeah, I mean that
he ranked really high before he got or before he didn't go to school.
I don't think Carson Edwards is. I mean, I think that's just kind of a thing.
I don't think we should put him in here.
No, I don't think so either.
I would love a Jonte pick, but that's a second round guy, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean that's what I'm thinking. Is there guys like early second that you just say we think this guy's worth it? We're going to take him as like a
Jonte's the only one for me.
Right. I mean, I guess I think we should put Romeo down. I guess just in case.
Okay.
Is he somebody who could fall because just he had a terrible year? To be honest.
Yeah, stupid thumb.
Yeah, was he?
Right? He didn't work out at all. Like I feel like he knows where or if he's getting picked.
So it was determined he had a thumb injury all season, and that screwed up everything, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure.
All right. So of the list you have typed with the gap between Bazley and Romeo, which I appreciate that. We all know my favorite is Grant, and my second favorite is Horton Tucker. I don't really dislike anyone on this list, I don't think, except for Tyler Hero, I'm kind of falling out of love with. But I think they're all good. Man, if I had to go three, I'd probably go PJ here. But I really like Dybul, too.
Okay. So here's my...
You're missing someone good, Adam. Who am I missing? It's so hard to keep track of this many names.
Who am I missing?
Alexander Walker from Virginia Tech.
Oh, and right.
And Rui.
Yeah, I didn't write those down. My bad. I forgot to.
I'm on it. I like Alexander Walker a little bit.
Let's put it this way. Who do you think has the highest ceiling?
The highest ceiling is definitely Grant to me. That's why I like him so much. And I should explain that. Part of my draft philosophy when you're outside the lottery is like try to pick the highest ceiling guy. And like PJ Washington, I think, is the highest floor guy of this group. He, I think, is going to be good for sure. He's a good defender and can shoot. But he has some flaws that I think could severely limit how high his game could be. Whereas with Grant and THT and even a little bit Alexander Walker, I feel like their ceilings are higher. And even Rui has a decently high ceiling. He scares the shit out of me.
To me, I think Hero has a – maybe not highest. He's a high floor or a high floor to me. Wow. Or, like, I think you know what he's going to be. I don't know if he's going to be great.
I could get five on him in a one-on-one to nine.
Yeah, but I think offensively you know what he's going to be.
No, I couldn't. No, I couldn't. But
yeah, well, he's, like, 6'6".
Like Hero's like Leaf, but Leaf could actually beat guys off the dribble in college, and Hero can't. Like,
To me, Hero is more like Doug McDermott, and like I don't know if that's anything that's good.
Oh, McDermott could beat guys off the dribble in college, and Hero really can't. Like, that's why I don't like him at all. Like, if you run off the 3-point line, he just has nothing.
Yeah, but I will say he's a little quicker than McDermott on the perimeter. Like, he's a little bit quicker.
Is that the guy you want? A little quicker, McDermott? That's who you want at 18?
No, I was just saying who my guy has the highest floor. you know what he's gonna be. I don't know. All the other guys could be out of the league in 3 or 4. Oh. I think Hero's gonna be in the league as a McDermott for a while because he's gonna shoot 40%.
Man, I am not a fan of his. What's last? How many guys do we have right here? That's what I'm typing next to Hero. Nine.
You're right.
Okay, he gets 9. I'll probably put Rui at 8 and Naz Little at 7. So I still have 5 and 6. My gosh. Okay, I like Alexander Walker more than Cam, but I do like Cam a little bit. There's my 9 right there.
Okay, I'm not gonna rank all 9 just because I don't feel like doing this. I'm gonna pick the guy. So I'm different than you. I like probably your 1 and 2 are the same with you because you convinced me on Taylor Tucker.
Yes, Grant, I cannot be higher on a player than I am on Grant.
I'm gonna write 3 against a player, and you can say who it is.
I saw David West. Oh, who was that? Was that Sam Vecenie from The Athletic? The David West comp for Grant Williams. Oh, I loved it.
Can he make that top of the free throw line jump right at 99% rate? That's the question.
At a 99.9% rate. No kidding. You like Little. That's interesting. He was rated really high before college. He has a higher ceiling than I'm giving him credit for.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. A lot of mine is skewed because I watch a lot of March Madness, and if your team is good, I watch more of you. I mean, that's just the way it is, and that's never
a lot of March Madness, bro. Carson Edwards should be your number one.
He's not my number one because I'm realistic, but I mean,
Matthew Little's just so athletic. Yeah, and such a higher career. He just could not shoot at all.
Well, here's the thing I find with the Pacers is they're really good developing guys, right?
They are.
I feel like that's if you just get an athlete in there, I mean, the problem is Little is probably what. 2 years from at least being like competent enough. Like next year, he can't do anything. And some of the guys may be able to contribute next year in a way. But I think you get Little, get athleticism into the Pacers organization. They can somehow figure out how to use him into something. I mean, I think Paul George is a great example of this too. Was Paul George, I don't remember being like this sharpshooter kind of player in college. And all of a sudden, they used his athleticism to make a great defender. And then he became a great shooter over time.
Right. That's true.
I mean,
yeah, leave this on the side and see what order they go in. Sorry, I'm just thinking. But yeah, I agree. You're right. And that's probably the case for PJ Washington. It's in a similar way. I feel like I might be like higher on PJ Washington than my heart says because everyone else loves him so much, which is scary, but he's clearly good. Like I've been watching Kentucky this week to try to get a better grasp on Hero. And I like
he's someone who, because he's a little older, also could add value next year. It could be a rotation playoff guy.
Not his rookie year, but his second year.
Well, I mean, he's a little older.
Rookies are bad.
I know. Rookies are bad. I know.
Damn.
I know.
Everyone is always like, oh, they should draft a guy who can contribute this year. I'm like, okay, the list of guys who can contribute this year are Zion and maybe Ja. And
well, remember, Donovan Mitchell basically won a playoff series by himself.
That's
last
true. Year. That's true.
So, I don't know. And was OG a rookie last year or 2 years ago?
OG did not win the Raptors anything.
He played rotation in the playoffs, though.
Yes, he could.
That's all I mean. He just added some value to their playoff.
That's true.
This year he added none because he didn't play.
That makes me sad. Indiana Hoosier champion, OG Anunoby, baby. I love it.
Yeah, sure. I feel so bad for him because he's going to come back and Kawhi's going to probably leave and he's going to be like the guy there or like the fill-in guy for Kawhi. That's the spot he'll play and it's going to be like, oh, yeah, you're not Kawhi.
Wait for him, man. He's going to blow up one day.
All right.
I don't know about that. I'm just messing around. But yeah, we have a nice list.
He's a good NBA player. I'll tell you that. He's a good NBA player.
He is. Bazley. You want to talk about Bazley since you have him here?
Yeah, my only thing about him is Mitchell Robinson is now like considered. Yeah, true. Where would he go if he drafted? Where would Robinson go in the draft?
Oh, top 10 probably.
Right, top 10. That's what I was thinking. So to me, some of these GMs are maybe stuck in this old way of you don't go to college, there's something wrong with you kind of thing, almost in a way, right? I mean, unless you're one, like before, you go to high school, but if you went to college, like you don't, just, like, it's almost like society in a way. Oh, you don't go to college, what's wrong with you kind of thing?
Well, you know, it's true because the good Euro guys always fall, even if it's like obvious they will be good.
Except for Luka.
Luka fell. He should have gone number one.
Oh, that's true. You're right. Luka should have gone one.
Well, yeah, it was obvious before the draft, and then. If Ayton doesn't go to Arizona, Luka's on the Suns, and then the Kings are just the Kings. So,
yeah. Well, they were afraid Luka wasn't going to play there. Like he was going to, right? Didn't he say he might hold out? I don't remember.
I don't know. But Porzingis is another one though. Like a lot of guys were like, he's really good. Everyone's like, no.
And just to me, it's like Bazley was in the top. I don't remember if it was top 10 or 15, and like overall recruiting, like he was
pretty high.
Be a lottery pick if he played at Syracuse. I mean, just as long as he had a half decent year. I mean, Romeo had a terrible year and he's going to go to top 15, 20 still. So, I mean, to think that in a year, Bazley, who spent a year basically just working on his basketball game, playing in the, he didn't play in the G League, but he probably played basketball wherever. And like, that's going to be bad for him. Like, I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be a quality NBA player. I don't know. I mean, you know, with any lottery pick, it's still hit or miss, but I think he has kind of like, especially if you get it, like if you're picking 30, that's just like a no-brainer pick to me almost. Yeah. It's like
Bazley was 13th on ESPN 100.
I'm curious, who was like around that range the year before?
The year before, their ESPN 100 thing is so bad to navigate. You have to go to that scroll bar at the top and scroll down to refresh the page.
It's not that bad.
It's also taking forever. 13th the year before was Lonnie Walker.
Okay, but who was Terrence
Spur. PJ Washington was 12, ironically. Mitchell Robinson was 11. Look at that.
Okay. But I'm saying, so these are kind of guys around that range. So Walker went, 17, 18 last year in the draft, give or take?
Yeah, because he got hurt, too. He would have gone higher.
Robinson obviously didn't go anywhere, but he would have.
So
he's around that range where these guys should go in the lottery. So he would have.
And that's the case for Little and Romeo's. They're 5-6 in the top 100, and then other things happened.
I don't know if the Pacers, they're probably going to buy a pick. They're not the team that does that, but just hop back in the second round to try to get a guy or move up, whatever it is. I don't know. To me, it feels like it'd be worth it to get a shot at Bazley, but Bazley might go in the late first round. Probably that's kind of when teams take shots as well. Like a team like
the Warriors.
The Warriors might be like, oh, let's go get him.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right. We've been going way long here in one segment. Let's do a break and then talk about few second round guys and trading the pick. Dun dun dun. So stick around. Adam, do you have a single second round guy that you like?
Yeah, I told you, Darius Bazley.
Darius Bazley. If he's there at 50, I would actually be all for that, but I do not think he's going to be there.
So here's my thing. I'm not a huge
draft. What about Louis? Sorry. For the same reason, what about Louis King? Louis King was like 10th or 11th in the ESPN 100 out of Oregon. He's going pro. Did you swing at him?
I did not realize that.
Because he went to Oregon and no one cares about Pac-12 basketball.
Yeah, partially. I don't know. I mean, I feel like Darius Bazley was also more – it was, like, more highlighted. Like, there was a lot of discussion. Absolutely. People. I mean
– Well, a lot of that's because he said the G League. And everyone's like, oh, cool, a new path. And
also, I want to say because before he was ranked 13, I feel like he was in the top five for a while.
Well, he might have been.
I don't know – and like the, you know, in previous rankings before, you know, he might have fallen the last year or so, but he was a lot higher. So, So here's my thing. I care very little about the draft in general, to be honest, simply because it's a hit or miss thing, especially if they're pitching the lottery every year, it might be different, but they're not. And then the other part of it is second round picks almost never hit. I mean, they're just crapshoots. So I just, I can't spend the brain power trying to figure out who's going to go where. Is he going to be good? Now, there are plenty of good second round picks. That's not to hit on that, but like they're just, especially when you're picking like in the 50s, it's you're rolling dice and just praying something happens.
Yeah. I only recently looked hard into the second rounders because of how many were on the Raptors and Warriors. Eight suited up for them in the playoff run. It's pretty crazy. I have a few I like, but they're probably all going to be gone. Jontay Porter, love him from Missouri. He was a lotto projected guy before he tore his ACL and then re-tore the same ACL a few months later. So that probably hurt really bad.
Yeah, so the Pacers' last second round picks, right, are Alize and then Sumner the year before and EK.
And right? EK, yeah. They love the injured guy now that they have the two-way option.
So EK
no EK longer. EK was hurt too, remember?
Did they cut him before the year started?
They cut him in the middle of the year, remember, to make room for the trade that they then waived the guys to get Wes Matthews?
That's right. I was trying to remember when they got rid of him. No. Sumner played some minutes. He had a big shot against the Hawks.
He did well, I think, all things considered.
Yeah, and then Alize has not played, and people are big on him, but
People, he's like a cult following, you know? No one really thinks he's like so
awesome. No, that's part of the right way. Nope, there are some segments of Pacers Twitter who like to hype up second round pick Alize Johnson.
Yes. The same people who loved fake loved Niang for a minute there.
Oh, yeah, the Niang was here before that, right?
Yeah. And yeah. Niang was funnier because they didn't have a first, so it was like, he's the rookie. Like, we have to latch on to this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Jontay and I guess Charles Matthews is the next guy I was going to say. He's also injured just towards ACL working out for the Celtics. Same deal for him. He's a super awesome defender, but torn ACL, we'll see what happens. If you have nobody besides...
The odds are this guy will not be on the roster in the Pacers in 18 months. I mean, that's just the odds.
You have a point, sir.
There's not the last three second round picks are not on the roster currently, except for some.
Taco Fall.
I mean, yeah, you could take him.
You know that one. That's just like a gimmick to sell some jerseys.
That dude is so big.
So big. Like, oh my, the pictures of like Mark Monteith trying to interview him.
Andrew Mitchell, who's a very short woman to begin with. So that makes
sense. That one was funny. That was like 2.5 feet.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
He's like, all right, outsized.
Let's just trade.
Yeah, because that's more fun.
That's actually fun. Yeah. Instead of me just making up.
All right.
Okay.
Do your list. I think that's a good.
Adam, who was the last guy before Thad Young the Pacers traded their first round pick for? Do you remember?
Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me go back in my brain. Oh, screw you.
Why?
Kawhi pick.
No. Oh, no. There was one between that.
Wait.
Between Thad and the Kawhi pick, they traded the 2014 first.
Who did they trade for in 2014?
They traded the 2014 first with Miles Plumlee. Who was it for?
Oh, you mean, but they had Plumlee on the roster for a little while.
Yeah, I'm talking about the first round picks the Pacers traded away.
Okay, I thought you meant like on draft night. I was, that's why I said screw you, because you're bringing up Kawhi again.
No, the answer is Luis Scola.
Okay.
But I think that Scola and Thad are actually similar, like level impact guys to throw at this. You know, they're like,
you're giving Scola too much credit here.
I really like Luis Scola, but you're right. I probably am. Thad is better.
That's a
solid chunk better.
Yeah.
I like Scola. So you're getting a solid starter or a really good player on a crappy contract, or a really good player on an expiring contract. So number one, I'm going to go out of order, Adam.
That's fine.
We're going to do the guy we talked about before this started because we already have the thoughts on the guy. Number one guy, the Pacers. This is all speculation. I'm sure that someone will talk about this tomorrow with me on Twitter, though. TJ Warren, Phoenix Suns. Adam's fantasy team darling.
Yes, 2 years in a row, actually.
So I was kind of lower on Warren before, because before this last season, he had taken 279 threes in his career and hit 79. That's 28%. That sucks. This past year, he took 180 and hit 77, so almost as many as he made in the first 4 years of his career combined. shot 43%, looked a little bit better on defense. He only played half the year. He was hurt, but he just was better. And now I like him. Now I'm enthused by the idea of him being added. If they think for some reason Boyan was gone, or even maybe having them be like a 3-4 punch or something like that.
I'm shocked a guy shooting 43% has got you excited.
I mean, shouldn't that get me excited? He almost doubled his 3-point percentage. It's a huge deal.
Yes. I mean, that is a huge deal. He went from a guy who was averaging like 11 a game to another 20 for back-to-back years. That's impressive, yeah. Just in its right.
He is a bad defender still. Like, he's a Boyan-level defender.
And the even with figure it out. They will figure it
he's
out.
He's also a very low turnover guy. I'm going on and on.
So what was the trade? I was just going to ask. So if they traded Doug McDermott in their first for him, right?
This is what we talked about, yeah. So Doug and the first for him, legal trade. I mean, pretty much any trade the Pacers make is legal because they could just take a guy into cap space. But that's like almost dead even salaries going back and forth. So the Pacers have the same amount of cap space, and they would just have TJ Warren instead of their first round pick.
Right.
TJ Warren makes like 10, 11, 12 in salary in millions the next 3 years.
The one that's really good for a rotation player. I mean, just $10 million for like a good player. It's a
good number. No, so that's true. His deal is good. And it was not good before this year, but now.
So my other question was, could he start?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. It's kind of gimmicky because the Suns are so bad that it's like harder for me to picture what he does on a winning team. But now that he can shoot, I feel like that exists. And you can put the ball in his hands. Like, I know a lot of people, I forget who started this, would call him like a professional scorer at first. That was like his thing.
Okay.
So I know he could score, like, not as a spot up guy. So yeah, I have faith he can do stuff.
So here's what I'm getting at. Is there a way that basically the starting five next year is Conley, Oladipo, Warren, Young, Turner?
Sure. Yeah, that exists.
Right? Is that not a bad starting? That's not bad.
No, that's good.
Can you get Kojo in the top, making your number seven guy? Can you go with Sabonis?
Look at that point guard improvement. Right? No, I think if you get Conley, you're kind of done signing dudes. Because cap holds are gone for him to come through the door.
Because I'm thinking you need to get the seven guys and you're at 6.5 if you add Holiday.
Yeah, they'd probably just like sign some bogus fill-in guard for the bench. I don't know.
Yeah, see, maybe then Conley isn't. Maybe go
Jeff
get
Green.
Maybe go get Warren, but then bring back everybody else, I guess.
Do the Warren trade last. Just tell them, agree to the deal, get everybody else, and then trade whoever the pick is plus McDermott for him. Because you can do that at the cap level.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have the Davis trade, right? That's basically what they're going to do.
TBD, right?
Yeah, but you can accept the trade now and still make it your last move. Yes. Like the NBA has gotten rid of these stupid rules where you can't announce things earlier or whatnot.
All right, number two. This one, I understand why you might jump off right away. Because he's an expiring deal, but he was very good this last year, and that is Danilo Gallinari. I am worried about trading a first-round pick for a guy with only 1 year left on his deal, and you should be too. So maybe this is a terrible idea, but he was super good last year, although he's super injury-prone. Okay, I'm talking myself out of it. This is not a good idea, but Gallo is good, very good, better than Warren by a decent chunk. And I'm
going to ask you again, can you get off McDermott's salary by getting him? Can you get rid of some money?
Actually talked about last week. Yeah, McDermott has more value than you think. So, yes, I think you not to the Clippers. They want to sign everybody under the
sun. Right, that's the problem. I think
if maybe you could reroute him in there. I don't know.
I think the move with the Pacers, if they're going to get rid of the first-round pick, is to get rid of McDermott as well, just to use that cap pay for something else, for a player of actual value.
I don't think trading the first to get off of McDermott is a good idea. But
no. I mean, trading McDermott in a first
in
a player,
the deal, do it.
That's what I mean. In a deal to get a player where you basically use the first to get upgrade McDermott, essentially. That's how I would put it. Right?
Yeah,
that's the move, I guess. But
I care about that.
I just think he can't stay healthy. That's my, I would say.
Yeah, I know. I get it. I talked myself out of it. I lost myself along the way.
a lot of money for a guy who can't play a game. Yeah, he's good, but is he a lot of guy who? How many games did he play last year?
67.
I'm really good for 68.
Oh, 68. I got that right. Holy crap!
So let's see, that's the most games he's played.
That's the most he's played since 2012.
Yeah, he played 21 and 18.
Yes. Okay, I am.
It's a lot of. a lot of money because basically, by if you trade for him, you basically can't sign a couple players.
Hey, remember that shitty idea I just proposed?
Let's ignore it.
Let's ignore that one and move on to the next guy.
Tony was going to put this in his article. I think now he's going to take the name out.
I might leave it in and just list all the cons. The next one, the guy I wanted last summer, too. Otto Porter. Mr. Otto Porter. Yes, he makes a lot of money. Yes, he is very good and is like the ideal wing fit next to Vic besides like a star. So, yeah, he's good.
So, I'm torn here a little bit. He's owed an ungodly amount of money. I mean,
$27 million.
We're talking like this is like top notch free agent level money, pretty much, right?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, this is what like I think
it's a lot.
Like I think McCollum and Lillard make about this money, much money, if not a little bit, maybe a tiny bit more.
Yes.
This would put him by far and away the highest paid Pacer currently, at least till Vic gets a new deal.
Yep.
It basically, if you do this move, you need to get rid of McDermott at least to at least get some cap relief, but you're basically looking at about like $22 million space afterwards, which means you could re-sign maybe Thad and a point guard, but you can't go get Conley. I don't know. Basically it'd be like saying we'd rather have a better small forward than have a better guard.
Otto was very good when given the ball on the Bulls. Like incredible.
What's the
17 point. Yeah, I understand that the salary is the concern. It's not anything with the player. Like with Warren, you know, there's like fit issues maybe, and maybe the shooting's a fluke. And with Gallo, it's injuries and contract. And with Otto, it's contract. It's less on the court than it is with those guys. But
so here's how I would look at it. Like he's probably what he should make is probably what Turner makes, right? 18 to 20 range.
Yes. Agreed.
So basically, he's being paid as if he's two players. And can he make up the production for two players? And I don't know about that. You know,
it's tough, but that's what this pick gets you is like a good overpaid player or someone like Warren or Gallo.
To me, he makes sense in the way Marcus Gasol made sense for the Raptors, where he's expiring and it's a big contract, but you know, you have a shot at winning a championship. So you go get the guy and make the move. You make it work for a year or whatever, but like with 3 years or 2 years left, I guess it's kind of makes me more work.
Player option that he will undeniably opt into.
Yeah, the only way I guess I could say this is okay is that you don't have Vic's high contract yet, so this is kind of an opportunity to go get a guy like that.
At the same time, yeah.
If Otto Porter, let's say, I mean, is he going to get better than he is? He's probably what he is, which is still a really good player. He's probably
25.
Yeah, but he's probably not like going to – like what is he right now in terms of top small forwards in the 10 to 12 range, 15 range?
10-ish, yeah.
Right? Is he going to be in the top 7, which is where they make a difference? Probably not.
That's true.
And so, like, if you think he could be that, then he's worth it.
You make a difference in the top 10, just not, like, I don't know. I don't know what you mean by that.
I just mean, like, he's never going to crack into the top tier of small forwards of, like, there's like, 5 out there that are just – I mean, they're the best – they're 5 of the best 10 players in the league.
Oh, yeah, but you can't get any of those guys with the
– No, but if you thought he could be that good, then trading for him allows you to re-sign him in 2 years with probably some kind of – at least you can match his contract – I don't know, but you don't get bird rights, but you get some kind of rights to sign up to probably a big contract, which would make sense because then you could resend him and Vic and set your roster as those two guys. But I don't know if you get him if you're set with just him. Like you feel like you need other pieces to still make it work, right?
I agree.
Like you get Kawhi Leonard for $30 million. You don't care who's around him. You got Kawhi, Kawhi fucking Leonard to put a play. Like you don't care. But Otto Porter, who's making will make relatively like maybe only $4 or $5 million less than what Kawhi will make in the first year of his deal, is like, oh well. Now we need a guard still, and we need this still.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of issues with that money, but he's very good. The last guy is a guy that we talked about trading for collectively last summer. Adam wanted to trade Miles Turner for him and got a lot of shit for it. And it was very funny. And then he kind of had a very injury-filled season, but he's not necessarily an injury-prone guy. And his contract is also bad, but he's an all-star level player. If you haven't figured it out by now, his name is Kevin Love. Adam, what do you think?
Over the age of 30, you don't want a contract.
Ugh, I know.
But he would fit well. It's just so much money. He would.
He is a great fit with Turner and Vic and ideal.
Yeah. He can play a little center. He can play a little four. He really could play four.
Yeah. Contract is oof.
Yeah. And
probably worse than Otto's. Actually, almost certainly worse than Otto.
Yeah, because Otto's 25, so he's just room for potential. Love is what he is, and Love has not been healthy for a while either.
29 mil, 31 mil, 31 mil, 29 mil.
Let's see. Oh, he played 22 games last year, 59 the year before.
Maybe the Cavs can send back a later first.
I mean, if you
that would not happen.
What do the Cavs have? The sixth pick?
No, they have 27 and six, I believe.
So maybe Kevin Love the sixth pick for the 18th pick. That's a move I would make.
Oh man, duh, I'd make that, but the Cavs would not make that.
No, Kevin Love is gonna finish his career as a Cavalier unless he wants to be bought out because he got paid the contract that was like, sorry, you went through the shit with LeBron for so long. Here's $120 million. Enjoy. That's what he got.
Good for Kevin, man.
No, I mean, good for him. I had it up.
He don't fit so well. It sucks that he's getting paid so much.
Let's see. In his career now, he's gonna end up so at his $120 million plus $113 million plus $860. I mean, he's looking at like close to $300 million and made money as an NBA player.
Good for him, man.
That's not including his rookie deal. So he good for. I mean, that's a guy who he'll be good for the rest of his life.
I was looking through the player salaries list, and there's so many free agents this year that there's really not like an awesome fit for the first round pick, like straight up. I mean, obviously,
that's my biggest problem. The whole thing is I couldn't really find anybody that like.
Yeah, you know, and if you wanted to talk about aggregating it into a Conley trade, sure, that's a good use of it too. I just went through this exercise of like, who could they trade it straight up for? And that is literally Warren, Otto, Gallinari, and Love are like the best guys I could come up with. It is a challenging exercise.
So, I would say of favorites, Warren is probably the one I'd favor the most. That deal.
I think he has the least cons, but he's also definitely the worst player.
Yeah, but I think it's the right value too.
Yeah, I can get on board with that.
Like you're not like, oh, God, his contract, and the pick is like, that makes sense. The guy adds value. When is Warren up? Is it he's still got a couple years left?
No, he's got three more years. Yeah.
I mean, that's you're getting a guy who you're getting like Thad pretty much. Same thing after Thad. You got 3 years.
If the Nuggets even were sniffing, changing things up, Gary Harris would be my guy.
They are not.
They are set with their roster.
I would bet they think now that KD is hurt, they can win the championship next year.
I think they might be right. They have a very good team.
They probably have the Lakers now are probably the top two favorites to win the West.
And the Rockets, three good teams.
And maybe the Blazers as well.
Gallo, I thought was good enough as an expiring, but a lot of the expiring guys are bad next year, like not worth a first. It's super hard to me to find the right guy.
First for Gallo might be too much to get him on expiring.
It probably is. Marcus Smart be another one, but again, Celtics would not give him up. And he's probably worth more than that pick alone, if we're being honest. Robert Covington, another guy I would give it up for. Wolves love him. No way they would give him up. So, yeah, if you want to look, go check out the Basketball Reference salary sheet, page sheet, see how many guys have multiple years left and would be worth the 18th pick, and their team would be willing. It's very hard.
Yeah, it is very hard.
It's very hard. That was fun.
So what do you think? This is the last one we're doing before the draft. They trade the pick or they draft a player?
I think they draft a player.
Yeah, I agree too. There's not a lot of
good options. Or they move in the draft, but I don't think they don't draft.
Do you think they move the pick in a trade? I mean, not just straight up, but in any kind of package trade.
Maybe. Yeah. All right, we want to do a short last segment here on the best cases and worst case scenarios. So we're going to travel on over there. But speaking of travel, don't forget to check out hotels.com. It got me through Minneapolis. This is the first weekend me and Adam have been able to do this on a Sunday in like 3 weeks, which is exciting because we weren't traveling. But check out hotels.com.
On a Wednesday, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. Damn. Hotels.com/lockedon. Go check it out. And we'll be back in one moment. All right, short and sweet, because you actually have to go somewhere.
I got 10 minutes. We can do 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. All right, not short and sweet. Still sweet, less short. Okay. Your draft best case scenario is non-Zion department blank.
Oh, I was going to.
I knew you were going to make the joke.
I think it's on draft day. They put the pick with a player and they go get Mike Conley.
I think that's
My best case scenario.
That's a pretty good one. I think I can't believe I'm going to say this. This is the only player realistic ish that I would draft it instead of saying what you just said. Brandon Clark from Gonzaga, if he falls to 18 and they pick him, that is awesome. If they walk out of there with like Jonte, Brandon Clark, oh man, I'd be elated. Or Grant Williams and anybody, I'll be elated. But yeah, I think in the actual realm of like this could really happen, the Conley deal is probably
Who else are your kind of fall guys? The problem being 18 is you're past that range where teams that are like at 17 and 16 will just take a shot on
you
that
know
guy
what's too. Funny? So, I really like Jackson Hayes. I don't want them to pick him. He's a center. So like fall guys, Brandon Clark might fall. Love him. He's awesome. Other than that, who's it going to be? Like Sekou Doumbouya? I don't know anything about him. I don't know anything about any Europe guys.
Yeah, that sounds like a guy who would fall because of Europe stuff.
But the Europe guys would fall. Like, I don't know. I can't tell you.
The problem they have is don't the Hawks have the 17 somewhere at like 11? 10,
17, yep.
So they're the kind of team where if some guy falls, they're just going to take him at 17.
Yeah.
Because they're like, why not? We have three first-round picks that we've already taken, you know, our guys.
Yeah.
That's their biggest issue.
It's like, really hard to see it happening.
Right. Last year, we were both, like, waiting to see if Porter would fall.
Yeah, we got close.
We were like,
we both like Donovan Mitchell, too. Man, we're good at this.
Well, Porter, we don't know if Porter's good.
Yeah, he's going to be good.
Okay, well, can he stay healthy?
Tony proclaims with factualness that he's going
to. Tony also claimed on draft night that Aaron Holiday sucked. And I think.
Jury's still out, but yes, I was.
No, but you thought you were devastated.
I was very unhappy, and I should have been moderately happy.
Worst case scenario for me.
Oh, God.
All right.
A center.
Oh, I was thinking that, like. At the 14th pick, Boston says they traded 14 in next year's Memphis pick for Mike Conley.
Yeah, that would suck.
That's what I think. Because, like, we'll start texting. Well, we'll start, like, really talking. Okay, should we come on around the 12, 13 range? And if we come on and the first thing we see is Mike Conley's been traded, we're going to be pissed.
Yeah, I don't think that will happen on draft night, though, because they're going to pretend like they have a shot at Kyrie until free agency. Even if they don't,
I don't know. That's a very Celtics ball.
You're right.
Like,
you're right.
Over. Like, Danny's just like, we know we lost you, you know.
Who would you hate if they picked? Is it just the centers?
Oh, any center. If they take a center, one, that tells me two things. One, they're trading. One,
yeah, that's true. It will say a lot about their plans.
But, I mean, just the value of centers, especially of these centers who can't shoot. They're like, I mean, they're okay in this league, but they almost have, like I don't know. If you can't shoot a 3-point shot, you have no value, I guess. And I guess Bobo has got, he took 28 attempts, right? I mean, 25 attempts, like that.
He barely even played. I have no idea how good he's going to be.
I mean, he shot 2%, but like, I don't know. I mean.
He played like 4 games or something.
I guess they're a guard. Like if they're a guard, I'd be pretty annoyed. Like a short guard, I mean. I'd be annoyed by that. Not like a 6'5 or 6'6 guy, but a guy who like has to play point guard essentially. Like honestly, Carson Edwards would piss me off a little bit just because I think they have too many guards in their roster.
I think Edwards and Holiday is just like the worst fit ever. If you want to hedge and say we're getting one good player out of these two probably, then yeah, maybe he's an okay pick, but I would not be happy with that.
Or both stink and then you have this just like
then you're doofed.
This man. Pit from six to from your seventh to ninth guy in your roster.
Yeah, you have a point. I don't think I would enjoy Carson Edwards in the first round either. You will hear our reactions, and I will inevitably overreact in a huge way.
Yeah, what is your worst case? Have
I said one?
No, you haven't really kind of beat around a little bit.
Man, Hero, I would be very disappointed in. And had Rui. I just said Rui. Wow. Rui. Trade-wise, man, I don't know. If there's anything like that, like what's the opposite of the Conley trade? The one where they do it and we go, what are you doing?
What was the one? Oh, they traded for Gallinari. You'd be pretty pissed.
I know. I'd like that. Gallo's really good.
But you turned yourself into how bad it would be.
If it's just the first for him, I might be a little worried.
I'd be pretty worried about the Kevin Love for a first word. That would just that's so much money. Kevin Love, that's like you're locking yourself into a Kevin Love.
I'm so sad about his contract. I was thrilled about that fit. For like 2 seconds.
Well, like trading for Kevin Love is like the move like a 2007 Cavs team made when they like had LeBron and they were like panicking to how to keep him and just like we gotta get somebody's good.
Oh, Kevin Love.
5 years ago he was the best player. He was an all-star top.
Here's a terrible scenario. Chris Paul. That's a bad scenario.
Fucking Chris Paul. Actually, that would not be a bad scenario. Chris Paul could be good for a year with Vic.
Chris Paul would be very good for a year, but man, is that money something.
Could you imagine if they traded Chris Paul to Indiana? How pissed Paul would be.
Steph Curry's first contract after his rookie scale was $44 million total. In 2022, Chris Paul's going to make $44 million in that 1 year.
Chris Paul's traded to the Pacers. It's not going to mean Indiana, but you think Chris Paul opts out of that fourth year, which people say there's no way he does.
There's no player option.
No, there's the fourth year's a player option, I thought.
No, there's not.
Oh.
Flat 4 years, 160 mil.
You think he tries to take a low-paying buyout? Just to get out of Indiana? No, right?
Man, he and Vic would be lethal together if they could actually, like, play.
Well, yeah, I mean,
for a year.
About, like, 14 Chris Paul with him would be lethal, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I can't think of anything else that's terrible. I doubt there'll be any. I mean, you would think there'd be some discussion about a college trade. We probably won't know about it till like Tuesday or Wednesday.
No, the Grizz are smart to just be like, no, we're not talking about it till the draft.
So if a college trade happens on draft night, are we gonna just like, should we like pop champagne on the podcast? Should we?
Oh, that would be so much fun.
Should we like have a sound, at least the sound ready? Okay,
we'll call it like Shots for Shots. I think that's a good name for a drinking basketball podcast.
This is really bad but like on election day 2016, wasn't there like Alex Jones and who's the guy that got arrested? Roger Stone did like a pop champagne on it. Basically, I thought that'd be like us, like just celebrating something that like is like kind of maybe okay, but like I just imagine us being like that on the podcast live.
That would be funny.
At like 9:30, we're just
you just hear like constant pouring sounds.
And then our speech slowly gets worse and worse.
That would be funny. Now I want this to happen just to hear the execution. One time, confession to listeners, I drank before a solo pod and I like was freaking out that I was slurring my speech. So every break I just stopped talking and I like listened back to it. And I was like, oh, this is so terrible. It was really bad.
I already slurred my speech enough, so it's fine.
Okay. You got anything you want to talk about before we get out? Oh, wait, administrative stuff. 5 days this week, baby. We're back. What are you talking about tomorrow?
It's posted on Wednesday.
Yes, this is out Wednesday.
So if you haven't
know that already,
you should check out our rest of our player previews, which I did Aaron Holiday for Monday, and then Tony did.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. I mixed it up. I did Wes last week.
Oh, you did Wes last week, so my tweet that says Aaron Holiday is wrong?
Oh, my God. I didn't even – guys, what a the summer hours. My bad.
Wait, we're just finding this out? This is a disaster.
I'm going to have to apologize.
Is that on Megaphone and I just didn't see it? Oh, geez.
The name is Wes.
We heard about Aaron Holiday Monday.
Yeah, sorry about that. If you guys look for Aaron Holiday and realize it was Wes Matthews, that's a really bad –
If the title says Wesley Matthews, I'm just an idiot.
Yeah, I did spend a little bit of time talking about Aaron Holiday because of the whole, you know, how much I hated them trading for what's best to basically block. It was fine. So that'll be a Monday. I totally went off our schedule, so that's really kind of my fault.
Okay, well, I highlighted Aaron Holiday on the sheet too. Let me change.
So then Tony's got
Kyle Quinn and CBA 101 Tuesday, baby. You already heard
and
it.
And then he'll have some Alize and Devon Reed on Wednesday. All right. Yep. This is going to be posting on Thursday. We've done this wrong now. Well, Alize, we've really butchered.
Wait, we did?
Yeah, it's posting on Thursday.
This is out Thursday. We are this administrative section should read, Adam and Tony have no idea what's happening.
So check out all our player reviews. They are all done, completely finished. Check those out.
This could be obsolete by the time it even comes out.
No, it won't be because
– that's frightening.
Oh, yeah. Well, this might be lost in the history of Locked On Pacers podcast if anything happens. This is our drafts to check out. So we will probably post tonight once the draft ends. Or, like, once we basically – we'll probably go from about the 14th pick to the 20th pick, and then we'll just immediately post. So I don't know what time it'll be at. Maybe, like, 9, 10 o'clock. Check around for a podcast. Maybe 10:30 even. Looks to it then. If you want to, if you're really itching for some draft or there's a big trade or whatever, we won't go live. We don't really know how to do that, to be honest. Check that out. And then we'll be back tomorrow with whatever happened after that podcast will be our Friday podcast. And then next week we'll do a bunch of stuff based on what's happened with free agency and draft and all kinds of stuff.
Woo! All right. I got nothing else.
I'm good. Follow our podcast.
Show at Locked On Pacers. We want to have 1,000 followers by the season. We're not really close yet, but we're kind of close. We're over 900.
Yeah, we're like 910 now.
Yeah. All right. That's all I got. Thank you for tuning into this Thursday edition, which I have completely ruined this admin section. And we'll see you guys tomorrow.